Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
No one warned us. No one said you were going to lose both engines at a lower altitude than any jet in history.
Simulations showed that you could make it back to the airport.
Not possible. I felt it go.
From director Clint Eastwood, critics are calling it a triumph. 5 stars.
Brace for impact. What if I didn't get this wrong? What if I endangered the lives of all those passengers?
People call you a hero.
I don't feel like a hero.
Sully, Miracle on the Hudson. In cinemas December 2nd. Certificate 12A.
You got a pen? Anyone got a pen? Sorry. Hello and welcome to Season 2, Episode 14 of the Tottenham Way podcast. I'm Tom, I'm your host. No Dan Kilpatrick this week because he is out in Monaco, of course, for the game. Only just about, because he missed his flight this morning. Apparently cost him about £200 or £300 to get his flight moved, and he's eventually made it out there. He's, fingers crossed, guys, he's going to make it back at the casinos, so he says. So good luck, Dan. Hope to see you back at some point. In his stead, we've got Phil Gillen. How are you, mate?
I'm very good, thank you.
Welcome back. This is your second appearance, isn't
it? Yeah, third in total.
Third in total.
Second this season.
It's the hat-trick ball. The hat-trick ball today. And a veteran as well, Adam. This must be 5 or 6.
Oh, at least. Maybe 4 or 5.
Yeah.
Either way, more experience.
And so. A special as well. You had the AVB special.
AVB something. Any, that's for sure. That is for sure.
Who's now in China? How do you feel about that, just before we go on to the game?
As far away as possible as we can get would always be good.
Do you feel a bit validated?
I mean, yeah. But the guy's just a charlatan who... No, let's not do this. We've done a two-hour show on it. We don't need to do it again.
That's fair. But speaking of charlatans in high-powered positions, since we last recorded, Donald Trump has got into power as well. Just before we go anywhere, Phil, you did quite a popular tweet.
I did, yeah.
A picture tweet, and which kind of blew up your mentions and everyone else's mentions that stole it. It was the Homer Simpson eye one, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
And that was you, just to clear things up.
That was me,
yeah. We've got the creator.
Yeah. I say lots of people benefited off that rather than me, but it's fine, you know, people enjoy it.
Wait, so tweet stealing is a thing?
Yeah, apparently. Apparently, you know, I just assume people would do a quick search to see Trump Homer eyes, but no, apparently not. Apparently
how strange. Just, I would have thought that people would, especially on that sort of medium, like credit the one that had done it.
That's... In this day and age, guys, absolutely
who'd
disgusting.
Who'd have thought it?
Who'd have thought it? Let's talk about West Ham, because it's still funny. I actually woke up yesterday kind of, you know, when you forget where you are a bit, and then you wake up and you think, oh, what did I do yesterday? And I actually burst out laughing, because it's still really, really funny. We all went, didn't we?
We did.
Yes.
So yet another late win. I worked it out yesterday. I put a tweet out, which was retweeted after the game, that we'd scored more goals in the last 10 minutes of games against West Ham than they have got Premier League victories over us. Mm-hmm. At the time, I had no idea whether it was true, but it sounded wicked. But I did some research today, and it checks out. And brilliant. I actually think we've done it within the last sort of 10 years. So not the whole stretch of the Premier League. Like in the last 10 years, we've scored more goals in the last 10 minutes against West Ham. Two more for Harry Kane. I feel like West Ham exists solely so we as Spurs fans can kind of be happy that football isn't all bad.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, I said that it's bad enough being a Spurs fan, but imagine what it's like being a West Ham fan.
Oh,
that's a shocker, isn't it?
Unbelievable. I mean, yeah, what can you say about that?
Well, I mean, they were singing It's Happened Again with great gusto, which makes it even funnier, obviously. Yeah. But I'm not entirely sure what it is for them. Is it scoring a goal? Because if that's the case, that's quite a common thing that happens in football. I'm not sure how used to it they are with a new stadium. It doesn't happen that often, but scoring is a common occurrence and not necessarily worthy of a song that it's happened again. Because most teams do it about 70 times a year. So you'd think that song would get a bit old. So I don't know what their it was, but as I thought, something happened again to stop something that's not a thing from happening again, if that makes any sense.
It doesn't, but I like
it's like Inception, the first draft of Inception, but yeah. I kind of followed you there.
Yeah.
Because ours is an actual thing which has happened again now, and it's replaced their not thing.
Maybe that is the thing.
Here's the thing, right?
Okay.
So, I just don't feel like we get a lot of opportunities to lord it up over any team.
No.
Like, it seems every single team, even Newcastle, have been a shambles for 10 years or so. Even they have got like three or four victories at White Hart Lane. They've got the 5-1. Just as an example, West Ham have had one season when we were at probably our worst for the last 10 years again, where they beat us three times, once in the cup, twice in the league. Don't think we scored a goal either. I know we scored one.
Yeah, that
I think
Adebayor
it was Adebayor
goal.
Yeah. There's nothing that they can have over us, is there? Absolutely nothing.
Well, I mean, they're so pathetic that even though that obviously their Lazio song is deplorable in itself, but they're such a shit club that they sing about our European games because they've got none to sing about themselves.
That's a fair point.
That's how shit they are.
Very fair point. But we have to say, on 88 minutes, it didn't look like we'd be sitting here, you know, even laughing about things, not even gallows humour, because I was quite pissed off, I think, by 88 minutes.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people were quite pissed off. Before we go any further, Adam, you've raised the point already on Twitter about people leaving early. You said about 84 minutes, I think.
Around me, there was a complete... I mean, I sit in a very heavily seasoned ticket occupied area. But I think it was a carryover from how... So I got a lot of stick after the Leverkusen game, because after 75 minutes, there was an exodus to Leverkusen. And I... Yeah, that's not on. I mean, you can talk about the trains and whatever, but we all have to get home somehow. But if it's 75 minutes you're going to leave, there really is no point in going. And so I think the ire of my tweet carried over from that game. And I just think, you know, ultimately, if you support a team, sometimes the team does need you a little bit. And, you know, the wave of enthusiasm after the 2-2, who knows, that may have caused, you know, gave them an extra push for the third goal. You know, the atmosphere certainly was electric at that stage. And I just think, I understand if, you know, 88, 89, maybe, but 84 minutes is 10 minutes of the game to go. And your team needs you. I mean, obviously everyone cares, but 84 minutes, I don't get it.
Did you see the same thing where you sit, Phil? Were you west?
I was west lower, so not many people left around me that I could tell. Certainly no one walking past me, because that would have just annoyed me even further. You're right, at that sort of time, I was just enraged. I did see a video that someone took from North Upper of like the last 7 minutes of the game, and there was people streaming relatively past him, and I think he kind of went and sat in someone else's better seat.
I started to leave on 88. The guy that I went with, he was like, right, I'm gonna go for a piss, I'll meet you down on the concourse, like, you know, as you kind of do, and one of you catches another minute, sees it, and I saw nothing that suggested that what was going to happen was going to happen, even the equaliser. And I thought, right, okay. And it got just ticked over to 88, and I thought, he's probably finished. So I went down and thought, you know what? It's quite a long journey home. I need a piss. And I went into the toilet. And by the time I'd gone into the toilet, we'd equalised. So I heard the cheer. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to go home not entirely pissed off. And I walked out, and you know, you just, because the TVs down on the concourse are 2 seconds after the crowd, aren't they? And the ball went into the box, and you heard this kind of half cheer. And it's not a goal, and it's more than just a penalty claim. And you knew immediately what happened, because you just saw Son going into the box and cut back. And there was probably about 50 people down on the concourse, and everyone looked at each other and just sprinted back to their seat. So I kind of watched it on the stairs of Park Lane, sort of halfway up to my seat. People that I'd said goodbye to were just like, hold on. You cheeky fuck. I found it quite good fun. I've never experienced that. I thought it was really good fun. But let's talk about the actual game, because it's probably it's kind of got lost in the glory of the victory. But the formation when we lined up, I think we were in the pub field beforehand, and we kind of called it a 2-2-2-2 two formation. Yeah. It might be too many twos, but it was a bit odd. The width was clearly going to be coming from the fullbacks, which we did the exact same thing against Arsenal, but we didn't have that security of a third centre-back. Do you feel like it kind of hindered us not playing the same system to get the best out of our wingers, or wing-backs, rather, or... Was there a different plan in place? Because I didn't really see much of what was going on.
Yeah, I mean, same. It's very hard to tell, but you know, it certainly hindered us. I think that there were so many players over the pitch working together or not working together, as it were. Janssen and Kane just seemed to be miles apart. Winks and Eriksen didn't seem to gel. Even Wanyama and Dembele didn't seem to be playing that well together. So all those twos down the middle, none of them seemed to work.
Mm. Yeah, it was a bit strange. Adam, what did you think? What did you think beforehand and how it panned out?
I didn't mind it because ultimately we've got to try and find a way for Janssen to work. And I don't think he's going to be able to do it by himself. And I think having the safety blanket of Kane around him could be the best way to get... I mean, his best game by far was against Crystal Palace, which is when Kane was playing just off him. So I thought, well, maybe it'll be sort of not a diamond, but almost like, you know, Eriksen and Kane could be floating in behind Janssen and people were pulling out. But I often criticise like people that are obsessed with formations because they think that football is like a game of Subutio, and once you're in your shape, someone has to physically flick you out of that shape, you know, as if there's no intuition as a professional footballer to like, well, there's space on the left, so I'll fill on the left-hand side. But I don't know, for whatever reason, I'm not sure if it was because Wanyama wasn't dropping in, so the centre-halves weren't splitting, so the fullbacks weren't getting forward, but something didn't work, and that there was no, the strikers weren't running channels. I don't know why it didn't work. Well, partly I think it didn't work because the idiots couldn't kick the ball 5 yards in a straight line to each other, which, you know, any formation aside, that's going to really hinder you. But I don't know what it was, but not for me, Jeff.
What?
Yeah.
It was the fullbacks against Arsenal. They had the third centre-back as a, you know, Vertonghen almost played like a left-back centre-back, and Dier did the same on the other side. So there was a lot more freedom for Walker and Rose to get forward, but you could tell they were just kind of 10 yards further back than they've played probably any time, let alone, you know, in this sort of formation. And I think that the Janssen point is we need to get the best out of Janssen in some way, like you say. And you do think that crosses and giving him service, which people are claiming that he's not getting, is the way to do it. But our fullbacks, the guys that were going to be putting the ball in the box, weren't anywhere near it near enough to be able to put in a good ball. They attempted four dribbles between them against West Ham at home. Against Arsenal, they tried seven away from home against, you know, your biggest rivals. It's quite a big difference, really. Do you think we learned anything about what we can't do and what we can do? I mean, we got away with it a little bit, didn't we?
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting that I touched on that Wanyama and Dembele didn't seem to be working that well together. It looked like Wanyama was picking up the ball, giving it to Dembele too early, where Dembele almost needed to be sort of beyond some players. So that was kind of slowing us all down, and therefore the fullback couldn't get forward into the more advanced positions. Mm. That's what it struck me.
Do you think it was really good, Winks, but do you think it upset Wanyama and Dembele a little bit?
So I think Winks, as you say, was brilliant, but I don't necessarily see where there's a place for that type of player in the system that we play, which is, you know, highly physical, very destructive in the centre. I mean, if you assume that our best formation has two central holding defensive midfielders, whatever you call them, and then four guys that have license to go forward, I'm not necessarily convinced that in the biggest of big games you could put Winks there, and whether I would put him there at the expense of, well, it can only ever be two of Dier, Wanyama and Dembele anyway. Mm. I think it's going to be hard to find him a space, and I don't know I hope he becomes good enough that he dictates a formation change, but I don't know what you guys think, but I'm not necessarily convinced that I can see exactly where there's a role for him.
Maybe not in the current system. He's had one game, like one start, and he did pretty much everything right, everything that he could have done to cement a place. But yeah, I guess there's a case for shoehorning in for the sake of it. And if we are going to suffer with our width, which was the biggest problem, for the sake of having three central midfielders, and they're all deep lying as well, Winks doesn't strike me as that number 10 or, you know, sort of even that Modric role doesn't seem to quite fit him. I don't know. What do you think, Phil? Are we going to be shoehorning him in at the expense of someone like Dembele or Wanyama, or is there a place for him?
Interesting, isn't it? You say it's very early to tell with him. I don't know, possibly that he's kind of the understudy to Eriksen, just play him a little bit forward. I mean, he played further forward in the second half, it seemed, and seemed to have more impact. So, yeah, I mean, again, Dembele and Wanyama seems to do better when he's responsible just for that area on his own. So, yeah, maybe it is Dembele, which is kind of a crazy thing to even comprehend.
He was quite poor on Saturday, I thought, Dembele, for how poor Dembele can be. But it was a physical West Ham team, and you expected Wanyama and Dembele to dominate because they're not just probably more physical, they're better footballers.
I mean, we were seriously overmatched in almost... I don't know why, but as Chelsea have done against quite a few opposition, they always seem to be overmatched numbers-wise against their opposition. And every time West Ham had the ball, they seemed to have extra numbers. Mm. Wherever they were on the pitch, you know, whether it was Antonio bombing down the right or Lanzini and Payet sort of working the left-hand channel or Sacco drifting out. I don't know what it was, but they always seem to have extra men. And that, A, worries me for next Saturday because we have to combat that. But I don't understand where our players were. It wasn't like Tottenham to be so overmatched in, especially in the wide areas.
Yeah, I think they were. I felt a little bit like Walker and Rose realised very early on that they were on their own a bit, and that is a worry because they are ambitious. And if you had to pick, they are probably better at attacking than defending. They're very good at both, but they are better at attacking than defending, and that's how Poch wants to play. But it felt like we had, like you say, Phil, two centre mids, two attacking mids, two strikers. It was just this corridor of nothing, really, in the end, and far too much. Not enough to shake it up. And with Eriksen so off form as well, I mean, was that he passed one straight about 2 yards out of touch? And the amount of times he just passed to a West Ham player as well, you know, you were saying you can't pass the ball 5 yards. He's supposed to be the guy that can do it and unlock defences. He has been a war crime so far this season. He's been terrible. And I was a bit pissed, and I did have a little bit of a go at him when he went down after holding his face.
Oh, that was pathetic.
Yeah, things like that just seem to be, come on, mate.
Him and Ali. Well, Ali spends more time on the ground than standing up, he says. I don't know if you guys
noticed. You're not 100% on Ali, are you?
I'm always fairly sure that Ali is going to fuck us one day with a transfer. So I can't, like, as much as I love him, I love Ali without any shadow of a doubt, but there's something about him that he seems to be playing extremely nonchalantly, which when everything's going well is really good, but against teams like Leicester everything was a bit Hollywood, and you know, he came on Sunday and his first thing was a back heel, which did work, but and then the second thing was he was falling over, and I don't know, he just seems that he's not doesn't seem to be playing with the same drive and energy and that he was last year. I mean, for me, he's should only ever be really in and around the box.
Yeah,
and I think he's trying to do too much. I don't want to see him in the centre circle. I don't think he's that good a player. I think he's a two-touch player. But yeah, I don't know. It's not quite right.
All right. So
I did notice he was getting really frustrated with people around him as well. Bearing in mind, he'd only just come on. I don't know if that speaks to
he's only 20 as well.
Yeah, slightly believing his own hype a little bit, maybe. Mm. As you say, he's kind of drifting out of the areas where you kind of want him to be.
He's always good for that moment, isn't he?
Absolutely.
Which is why
he's
such a great option from the bench. And at the moment, Lamella, I know he's injured, but I don't think I'd trust Lamella Eriksen to perform that sort of role for us, that hero from the bench or anything else. Let's talk about Harry Kane, because he just keeps doing it, doesn't he? Talking about it's happened again. 18 in 22 London derbies, 5 against Arsenal, 5 against West Ham, 3 against Chelsea, 2 against Palace, 2 against QPR, 1 against Fulham. I think he's our top scorer in derbies ever now. I think Sheringham...
must be close.
It's got to be close, isn't it? Yeah.
He's got the same number of North London derby goals as Henry.
Wow, really?
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
I looked at it today. He's a little way behind Pires, who always...
those tap-ins at the back post.
Yeah. It's about 9 he got or something like that. But Harry Kane's 23. So, and everything after the game, because there was a little bit in midweek about the contract. And I don't know what newspaper it was in. Probably doesn't really matter. They're all pretty much the
just
same.
Just assume it was John Cross.
Yeah, I think
on.
It was actually, saying that Kane was starting to get restless. He wanted 120 grand. Levy doesn't negotiate above 100, and it's all unrest and it's all terrible and everything's bad. He didn't play like that on Saturday. Two more goals. I think he's got five for the season now, considering it's a season in which he's missed 8 or 9 weeks. He's absurd, isn't he?
Yeah, and I think that touching on the contract point, he's probably one of the players that something like that would least affect. I think he just doesn't seem to clock that. You know, once he's out on the pitch, he's just going to play the way he plays. Yeah, again, he wasn't up to speed completely, and he was much better when Janssen came off as well. But it's just that talismanic, you know.
If there's one man you're going to keep on for 90 minutes, it's a shame it didn't come a week or 2 weeks earlier against Arsenal, because I think we probably would have won that game.
Yeah, without question.
But yeah, he was just brilliant. He's said, to, I don't know if it's today or a little bit later after the game yesterday or Sunday, whatever. He's no problem with the contract. Mm. It's very early stages. I think Dan has written an article for ESPN. Go out there and check it out. It's got the direct quotes in there. He wants to be captain. He wants to be a legend. He wants to score goals. He wants to win trophies. As a Spurs fan, what more can you want?
Well, I mean, for starters, he's signed about 17 contracts since he's started. And his contract runs out in 2020. So it's not like we have... It strikes me as a classic international week. Nothing to write about story. So let's just stir something up. And it has stirred people up. But really... You've got 18 months until it even starts to become a problem. Mm. So it's just the same with Loris. Loris is out of contract in 2019. In 3 years' time, he might be finished. You know, who knows? If he loses a yard of pace, this stuff is just strikes an international week nonsense. But speaking about Kane, I mean, the difference between him and Janssen, in my opinion, well, one of the many differences, is that Kane just... There was no real reason for him to be in that position for Son's cross. Like, a striker you'd expect would go across or cut out, but he just has the gene of being a goal scorer. There's a lot that you can't teach. I'm sure you can teach a lot about football, but there's something about him that he just can sniff out a goal like no one. Mm. And he's just...
He has scored three this season of his five goals. The same just works goal. It out. He scored the same goal... back post on his own, tap in and two penalties. Maybe the Arsenal fans have got it right. Tap in and penalty merchant.
Yeah, maybe.
Absolute rubbish. Take it.
Against Muck.
Yeah.
After the third goal, like Dad and I were just sitting down in our seats, just completely shell shocked. And I just tapped him on the shoulder and said, "I know you love Mum. I know you love me and my sister. But Harry Kane is the best thing that's ever happened to you in your life." I mean, you have to consider where we'd be without him. Mm. I mean, had he not come in that season, could easily have gone down.
In that year. Or we would have spent another 30 million on Benteke or, you know, some other mug, probably.
I mean, it doesn't bear thinking about what would have happened in a life without Kane. It really doesn't.
On that, do you think it's... Now, we're saying that Kane's happy to stay and we're, you know, going to be more than happy to keep him, but when does it get to the point where we have to match his potential? Because Pochettino after the game said he's one of the best in the world.
Yeah.
And I think Poch has felt that for about a year and he's just kind of been a bit reserved and keeping it under. But you can't contain it anymore. He's one of the best out-and-out strikers in the world at the moment. When does it become a problem if we can't match that potential? And what do we need to do to match that potential? Is it just a case of winning a trophy, or have we got to be showing that we're going for the league year after year?
I mean, it depends how driven he is by money. And again, it might be being naive, but he doesn't strike me as, certainly at the moment, whereas you know, you made the point about Ali, maybe, you know, there's a difference there. So as long as we keep giving him Champions League football and that promise, and I think it's that incremental point about contracts that, you know, you keep doing well, your wage is going to go up.
Mm.
I think, you know, that will hopefully be enough over the next 2 or 3 years.
We'll be in the new stadium by another couple of years as well.
Yeah, and so I think that's a big draw for him as well, you know, to stay and play a season or two there. And then
he will be captain as well.
Yeah.
I'd be amazed if he's not captain by the first. I know Loris...
Should be captain now, to be honest.
Probably, yeah. I think... But it's that really nice thing of... Loris is the captain, for better or for worse, but you've got Toby, you've got Dier, you've got Dembele, and you've got Kane. And that core group right through the centre of the pitch, it's just one big captain almost, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's just
and
you've got Rose and Walker that have been around for so many years and been through it all. Yeah, but Kane is the pinnacle of it, isn't it?
Again, that's another thing that we can like offer him. I mean, keeping as much pressure off him, you know, I don't know how much captaincy would add pressure to him, but keeping that off him and just saying, just keep doing what you're doing. Mm. You've got guys behind you.
He was captain at the end of that first season, that breakout season under Poch. He was captain a couple of times at the end of the season. And
Because Loris got smashed in that game against Leicester, I think. So I think he had a few games there.
He was captain against Burnley, I think, in the Paulinho miss game. And there was just a couple of times where it happened and it didn't look like it sat particularly well with him because he was still that young, fresh striker. But he's just a monster. He's a beast now, for lack of a better term. He does everything and he gets you 10 yards up the pitch without even thinking about it. And that is sadly something that Janssen hasn't quite got to his game yet.
Yeah, and we were saying in the pub that against Koscielny, certainly, he's terrified of him.
Yeah.
So as soon as he gets the ball, centre-backs throughout the league just to have that moment of doubt, which Janssen doesn't have at the moment, of course. So, you know, that gives him half a yard to do something with it. So that's hugely important as well.
Yeah. He also doesn't mind missing, which is like such an important thing in our team, because if you look at the players that score goals for us and have shots, it's really only him and Son that are ever willing to have a pot shot and miss.
Mm.
But if they don't miss, then they're never going to score. I mean, in that Sunderland game, you know, I know Son had about 10 chances or whatever, but eventually you wear a team down. But against teams like, you know, against Leicester, I know we hit the bar and the post a couple of times from crosses, but we didn't actually have many shots that really worried them. Bournemouth was the same. West Brom, first half, had a couple. But you've got to be willing to miss a lot of chances and eventually score. And that willingness of Kane just to turn 20 yards out and smash them, eventually they go in. I know that the XG people, you know, heaven forbid the shot from 20 yards, but that confidence in yourself to miss, I think, is so important in our team, because otherwise we're quite easy to stop if we're not willing to take pot shots.
Yeah.
It's a measured selfishness.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I didn't put it on the running order, but I was thinking about it over the weekend, because Jermaine Defoe got his 150th Premier League goal this weekend. Mm-hmm. I mean, fair play. He's been around for, about 15-odd years, played for about 4 or 5 clubs in the league. It's a pretty amazing achievement and fair play. But thinking of that selfishness, and you know, if you don't have a go, you don't score. I mean, Defoe must have, if he's got 150 goals, you imagine how many shots he's actually got racked up over those years? Because he didn't have that. He would shoot from stupid areas, and at times where you maybe just needed to keep the ball, maybe you, if nothing else, worked the goalkeeper and he'd blaze it over the bar. Kane doesn't have that. His first shot is usually on target. He's worked the goalkeeper, let him know what you're all about. And it's come at a perfect time, because we've got a big week coming up, which we are going to talk about after Dan Kilpatrick's French update, which is a good sentence.
Hi, this is Dan reporting from Monaco's Stade Louis II Stadium. I've just come out of Mauricio Pochettino's press conference. A word on that in a minute. But first, a note on Spurs travelling fans. I've been at 2 different airports this morning, so I've probably seen a good percentage of the 900 fans that have come out to Monaco. I was supposed to fly out of Gatwick first thing this morning, but missed that flight. Cheers, EasyJet. So I trekked across London to Heathrow. I'm about £300 down, unfortunately. But yeah, I spoke to a few fans on the plane. Everyone seemed in pretty good spirits and quite confident for the game. The feeling is that Spurs have been pretty good away in the Champions League so far, and it's just the home games that have let them down, which is actually what Hugo Lloris said quite firmly in his press conference a few minutes ago. As for Pochettino, I can only really describe him as focused and quite sombre. There's sometimes a light-hearted edge, especially in away trips to his press conference, but he seemed really focused on the task at hand here. Despite the magnitude of the game, because this is a must-win game for Spurs, or at the very least, a must-not-lose, but despite the magnitude of the game, he reminded his players that they shouldn't be taking unnecessary risks. He reminded them that it's about balance. He reminded them that the game's won over 90 minutes, not in the first 5 minutes. So really, I think he's cautious of Spurs getting charging out of the blocks and getting carried away and perhaps getting caught, as they were in the home game. As for injuries, he said Dembele, Ali and Kane were all doubts to start it, and I think even though he wouldn't admit it, he's probably got Chelsea on his mind. It wouldn't surprise me if a couple of those guys sat on the bench on Tuesday night and then started against Chelsea. I'm looking forward to the match. I think Spurs have a good chance of winning it, though it's worth saying Monaco have lost once in 23 home games and they've been scoring for fun in Ligue 1, so I think Alderweireld is a really big miss for this one.
Thanks, Dan. That was great, maybe. I have no idea if it was any good because he's recording it and sending it to me later, but I'm sure it's absolutely brilliant if he's not lost in a casino somewhere. You were saying, Adam, just before that you didn't get tickets to Monaco, which
no,
I found...
I did get tickets. I got a ticket.
Right.
But I think I was away at the time, but the club released the allocation so late that the day trip got cancelled by Sport Options, who normally do, you know, the flight in the morning, flight out. So, you know, saved me a few hundred quid, which isn't the end of the world. But, yeah, quite annoying because I would have quite liked to go. Yeah. It's quite a big game.
Yeah, it is. It's must win. I think if we don't, are we out of contention?
No, I think if we draw, but then we're reliant on Monaco beating Leverkusen when Monaco are already through. So,
Leverkusen as well.
Yeah. It's two wins.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. It's definitely the toughest game in the group. I think Monaco are top at the moment. Is that right?
Yeah.
And then it's Leverkusen and us and Moscow. But it's really not going to be easy. They've scored 12 goals in the last three games, not conceded a goal. Actually, quite similar to Chelsea. They've not conceded in like six games and scored about 18 goals in the last however many games as well. It's going to be a rough week, and I think we were talking about Kane before the break, but we are going to need goals because I feel like we are going to be conceding at least two or three over the next couple of games. How do you feel about Monaco? Are you confident?
I'm not particularly looking forward to it, I have to say. I think you said before about we just need to actually learn a lesson from the other games and take those early chances if they do come along, because that's what's been our downfall so far in the Champions League. So we got Kane, and that's a massive bonus, you know, if he plays.
I think we might have been saving Son as well.
Yeah.
I get the impression that we may have been saving Son's legs, because it's Saturday to Tuesday is such a massive difference, especially travelling as well. Just get the impression that we maybe kept Son back for the Monaco game, do you think?
Yeah, quite possibly. I mean, it may have been a case that he'd been in South Korea, I think, on the Tuesday before playing. May have been a case. So it may have just been a schedule thing that, you know, you're not going to start against West Ham, but you will start against Monaco, and I would hope Chelsea, because for my money, he's the only person that really can play inside left for us to any degree of ability at the minute. He's become, you know, I think I said on the pod after the Everton game where I said that I thought Son could easily force his way into our best 11, and I think when he's fit and, you know, he's the only person that could have got those two assists on Saturday, I think, that just the areas he gets into. There's no one else we've got that really, really does that. So, yeah, I'd hope he was going to start the next two games as a certainty.
Yeah, there's not a lot of pace in our side, probably beyond the wing-backs and Son. Lamella's not slow, but he's not that sort of player. So I think, yeah, and we're going to need it. I think, is it Rafinha for Monaco? They're right back. I might have got the name wrong there, but their right back is their top scorer, joint top scorer with Falcao on five, I think it is. So if there's a gap at the back, well, clearly there's a gap from the back, unless he's scoring from the halfway line every time.
Well, there was inside 2 minutes at Wembley.
There was.
And Son's shot got cleared off the line.
Yeah,
and how different could the whole group stage be?
Absolutely. Had
that gone in?
Yeah, and how different would our Wembley experience be as well? It would be very, very different feeling to it. But I think the danger man is still Bernardo Silva, who turned Jan Vertonghen like inside out, I think. He scored the second goal, didn't he?
The first one was the one where the tongue got turned. The second one was that weird
from
the angle. Mm. I mean, we gave them two goals in that game.
Yeah.
And apart from that, they didn't do... I know that it seems that they're set up to play like that and take what they're given and be ruthless. But, you know, you've got to hope that there's no atmosphere in Monaco because none of them care. If you were going to have a place to go and win, yeah, they might be a good team, but... As we were saying earlier today, let's assume that Moscow were Barcelona in our group, and they'd run away with the group. And he said, you've got to beat Monaco and Leverkusen to get through. You think, all right, we'll give that a go. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm hoping that after the jubilation of the finish on Saturday, you know, going into this game after another defeat, you know, that there have to be a belief that right until the last minute we can win any game. Mm. And I'm quietly confident. I don't know why.
Seems like the sort of game we win.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm weirdly...
Like, we're still a good team. Mm. You know, we're not just a run-of-the-mill football team. We're a top team when we play our style. I think we've got to go into every game from now believing it.
Mm. I think against Monaco, we were good for an hour as well. I think once we got that half an hour out of the way and we'd realised we'd almost given ourselves a kick up the arse, because we, you know, if 2-0 down's not going to do it, then what is? But it felt as if we suddenly went, right, let's sort this out. Toby got the goal back, and then for 45 minutes, we weren't really doing all that much, and I think this was in Kane's pre-season stage still. Yeah. He wasn't quite fit and firing. And I think had it come now, we might have got a win out of that game, at least a draw, in my opinion. But yeah, I think it is about learning lessons on Monaco, because we went there last season and we drew 1-1, didn't we? Yeah. Lamela scored, and then I think we conceded quite late
right
on.
That's
right, yeah.
So again, things like that, just, you know, learn lessons. Like, just... Please win.
Yeah. Well, there's been enough of them in the Champions League that surely by now, you know, we should have a measure of it.
Yeah, I thought we were a little bit fortunate against Moscow as well, but it.
Oh, that P roller, that was.
Yeah, great. Things like that. But on another day, it's the sort of game that we definitely would lose 1-0 as well. Sissoko's back, isn't he?
Why wasn't he playing at the weekend? He wasn't suspended.
No, this is what I was going to ask. Do you feel like we're maybe in the same way that Son was saved for this game? Mm-hmm. Do you feel like Sissoko might be being saved for this week? Because weirdly, this is the sort of thing where he would have an absolute blinder of a week, and he'll come away with it with like 3 goals, 2 in the Champions League, 1 against Chelsea. Because he used to do it for Newcastle all the time. He used to bulldoze a Chelsea. I think he did it on his debut for Newcastle.
Yeah. Mm.
These big games, he does tend to have something about him. Do you expect to see him? Would you like to see
him? Well, I'm probably the minority that I think he's great. I really enjoyed watching him. I know that, you know, people mugged him off for the game against Leverkusen, which was definitely, he did the most bad things of any player we had. But I also thought he did the most good things of any player. Mm-hmm. And I'd much rather have a player like that, that tried to take someone on and lost it, than Eriksen and Ali, who were just farting around doing nothing. I mean, my big criticism of Aaron Lennon in his Spurs days was that I wish you'd lose the ball more trying to take on your fullback, especially once they're on a booking or whatever. So I actually quite like Sissoko. I mean, he's a popular person to hate, which is just pathetic so early on in the Spurs career. But I thought against teams like Man City, I don't think we would have won that game without a player like Sissoko, who could just carry it 40, 50 yards fairly effortlessly. And so I hope he does play, because I think at the minute he's probably our best option on the right.
It's balance as well, I think. Mm. And if we are likely to lose, well, I think Eriksen should be dropped. For at least one of the games, he's the name that I'd probably look to bring in. And I've just got this weird feeling about Sissoko that something is going to happen with him, and he will have this breakout performance, and it will be against a big side. It won't be, you know, he was suspended for Arsenal, but who knows? It could have been that. Phil, what do you think?
Same. I quite like him. I know that he's not firing on all cylinders, and he's untidy as we saw against Leverkusen, but he's effective in his own way. And I think Absolutely, start him against Monaco. Maybe not against Chelsea, but again, him coming off the bench if we need it. It's just that direct. Again, it's the same thing with Kane, where if he's bearing down a fullback, no matter who they are, they're going to be second guessing what he's going to do, because even he probably doesn't even know he's just going to bomb forward.
Mm.
So yeah, I'm happy for him to be in the squad.
Yeah, it's a weird one. I don't really know about Monaco, but we should probably talk more heavily about Chelsea. So Rose picked up a booking against West Ham and he's suspended. He will. Obviously, he will start in Monaco. I'm expecting Trippier to start right back against Monaco. No? Mm.
Okay. No, okay.
So Walker can play against Chelsea.
Yeah, okay.
But Trippier seems to be the go-to right back as well for the Champions League, although away from home. At home, Walker's played both. It's very odd. Don't really understand what these...
Like, I have to say, like, I really hate all this nonsense. Like, it's the biggest week of the season so far, and Walker is one of your most important players. I just think he's got to play. Like, we have to win tomorrow.
Mm.
And I just think we need to give ourselves as good a chance as possible as winning. I know there's all this red zone, and and whatever, but I do think that, without being too much of a proper football man, I do think there's a little bit that it's in the players' heads that they're told that, you know, you mustn't play too often because you might get hurt. I mean, it's only three games in a week and they've got a whole week break after that, you know? I mean,
going into Christmas, though?
We've got a massive break before the Christmas period anyway, because we've got Hull, I think, on the 13th, and then a game on
Burnley.
The 6th, Burnley, yeah. And then not another game till the 28th.
Right,
we've got about a 12-day break there. I mean, I don't know, I don't want to be too red-nappy, or I do because he's the greatest, but... yeah, I think, you know, maybe get the game won after 60 minutes and take Walker off, as opposed to being behind the eight ball and having to bring him on. But that's...
How do you feel about that?
I'd prefer Trippier and Sissoko. I think we'd have that.
Against Monaco?
Against Monaco, yeah. And I know what you're saying about, yeah, in the footballers' heads about their fitness and whatnot. But, I mean, I don't know. I'm not quite convinced he's... firing all cylinders again, to say it a third time, but I think he maybe actually due a rest more than anything.
Fair enough.
I thought Walker was really poor against West Ham, actually. I think it's probably his worst game for a while, but to be fair, that's still a level above probably 19 out of the 20 starting left backs in the league. But I would rather save him for Chelsea, I think. I'd like to see Trippier. I think he's done okay as well, Trippier, Moscow. But really, I think for me, the concern would be there is no left back for Chelsea, by all accounts. So Ben Davies got injured on Wales duty. And judging by what everyone's saying, it doesn't look like he's going to be fit for the game. Rose is obviously suspended. How would you approach this? Would you match up against Chelsea with a 3-4-3 with Walker right wing back, Trippier left wing back, because it is an option and apparently it's been done before? Would you maybe choose someone else to play left wing back, or do you do flat back for Vertonghen left back like we did against City, Wimmer and Dier?
I don't know what the best way to play against 3-4-3 is. I mean, has a stato, like a tactics person, done a thing about it yet? Because
the only stat that probably is worth bringing up is that since they changed to that formation, it's six games because they've got beaten by Arsenal 3-0. Mm-hmm. After that game, they changed to this three at the back. Since then, they've played six, not conceded a goal, and they've scored 17. And only Spurs have a better defensive record. You'd have to say that if they'd started the season with that, they'd probably even be better than us in that as well. So, in answer to your question, so far, no, there is no way of playing against it, clearly. Borough looked... okay, but toothless against them. But again, you said it earlier about always having two men when there looks like there should be one. They outnumbered him in every single way. And I am concerned about our defence on Saturday.
I mean, the other options that you could, because they play Matic and Kante in centre midfield, you don't necessarily need to match that, you know, fire versus fire. You could maybe play Wanyama as a third centre back alongside Dier and Wimmer, and have Vertonghen as your left wing back, and then have Dembele, Winks, Ali, Eriksen, whatever, with Kane and Son up front. Because I guess you've got five defenders, two strikers. So you've got space for three people. So Dembele, Winks, and Ali maybe, and that might give you enough physicality, because their creators are in their three at the top. So if you've got your three at the back that sort of go one for one on them, and then you've got Walker and Vertonghen that take the wingers, then really it's Kante and Matic against your three, which would strike me as a favourable matchup. But I just don't know enough about tactics to know how you break this down.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds very convincing, actually. I mean, it's kind of giving me nightmares thinking about it now that Rose is out. Trippier at left wing back doesn't sound great based on the little knowledge I have. I saw someone had Wimmer at left full back. I don't know about that. To my recollection, he's never played there before, so it sounds disastrous. So I think probably Wimmer in the middle with Dier, Vertonghen.
Left back.
Flat back. So you play four at the back?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, because Toby, it doesn't look like Toby's going to be fit.
I mean, Eduardo got back from injury quicker than Alderweireld here. And apparently it was a nothing. What is going on?
Well, it was something, then it was nothing. So it's a weird one. I don't... I just feel like we don't let on that much about our injuries. Kane was supposedly back on the grass, as they said, or touching the grass about 4 or 5 weeks previously. He's doing all his strength training, and Potch said that he kills players when they're getting back from injury, so they want to come back to like first team play. And if you look at, I think Kane may have even been a bit rushed back.
Oh, without doubt.
You know, he was 70% against Arsenal, and I think that's why Son started up front with him.
If we were on good form against Arsenal, no way he would have played.
No way. But, and I feel like we're maybe looking at the Alderweireld situation and thinking, if he gets rushed back, if you rush Kane back and he's not ready, you don't score goals. If you rush Toby back and he's not ready, you concede one or two. And I do think that's a concern. And I think Dyer's been okay. He was poor at the start when he was playing centre-back, but I think he's got a lot better. I just think we might need numbers. And I'm weirdly coming round to the idea of Trippier left-wing back. I don't know why. I've got this... It's in the same way of Sissoko. There's no basis for it. I just like the sound of it. I just kind of like the safety and numbers aspect at the back.
And I mean, he could play Sissoko right wing back and Walker right centre half.
Right, in a Sherwood. Three. That is very Sherwood.
That formation, by the way, in the 4-0 defeat was working with Walker as a 10 until Vertonghen inexplicably passed the ball to Eto and then Kabul rugby tackled someone in the box. It was going okay. But I'm saying if you play three at the back,
so
bear in mind they play Victor Moses as a right wing back. So it's not like you need.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you could feasibly do it.
And Azpilicueta plays
there.
And they almost offset it, don't they? So Moses gets going down the right, Alonso gets going down the left. But when they've not got the ball and they are defending, it kind of skews into a back four.
Back four.
Yeah.
So it's not, it is a bit rogue, but it's not that. You know, if you had Vertonghen as your left wing back and then Dier, Wimmer plus one, which could be Wanyama or Walker, and then the other, then either Walker or Sissoko on the right. I don't think it's that skewed.
I don't know. It's just the worst time for it to
happen.
What's
the least shit option?
That's it. That's what I'm thinking. But at least with if you've got the flat back four, you can have Wanyama dropping in and making it three.
Yeah.
So you've got that flexibility.
Sure. Yeah. And I do think Vertonghen is a really good left back. And I think it offers a bit more balance than the other options to have Walker right, Vertonghen left. But yeah, I'm still on the safety and numbers thing, I think. And it's a shame because this is the first time we've played them since that game in May. And I do feel like with that fully fit squad, if we'd have had the same team even that started against them in that game, I think we would have had a hell of a chance of beating them. As it is now, I think I've got a bit of a bad feeling about it, to be honest. But what's highest on the agenda for you? Just sort of coming out of there with a point, performance, revenge? What, you know, how do you guys feel about it?
Not revenge, as much as I loved it for those moments last season when we were tearing them apart. I think we need to kind of get that.
In what sense? In the when we went 2-0,
it was just fun to watch
when
we were kicking the absolute hell out of them. That was great. Yeah, but again, as much of an impact it had on the rest of our season, a negative impact, I think that we need to put that out of our minds a bit and be a bit more focused, especially now the fact that, you know, Rose is out. We have to think of things slightly differently. So
yeah.
I think going there, being solid, letting them come at us regardless of our.
I think we lose a bit of bite. No Rose, no Lamella. Whatever you know, we know your feelings about Lamella, but without that is a
softening views on Lamella.
Yeah, but it's definitely a less aggressive team. Whatever team you put out there. Maybe that will help. Maybe that'll be better. I mean, is Fabregas likely to start? He's not been playing, has he? It's a bit of a shame because I'd have quite liked to see Dyer versus Fabregas again.
Yeah, it's the time for cool heads, though. I mean, we played really well against them. We had cool heads there. And as soon as, you know, all they tried to do really was cause a riot that they could capitalise on.
Yeah.
And really,
we fell into the trap, didn't we, big time?
You know, it's funny when you see the 2-minute thing, but ultimately it messed the whole season up. And, you know, I was standing there in the front row with about 10 minutes to go, and I said to my mate, when they equalise, don't lose your head because you'll be a meme for life because you'll be caught on camera.
Yeah.
Just accept that it's going to happen. I mean, it was so inevitable, but I think we are a much better outfit when it's cool heads, focus on what's actually going on and don't get caught up in that. I mean, it'd be interesting to see who the referee is because it can only really be one of Dean and Michael Oliver, really, because it can't be Klattenberg again.
Dean did this game at the weekend, though. He did Tottenham, West Ham, so
it's
unlikely.
Is that not allowed to be twice in a row?
I think they're trying to steer clear of it,
I think they do,
so it'll have to be Michael Oliver,
because if there's any controversy and something else happens, I think if you space that out, it looks a lot better.
Yeah.
I mean, Arsenal fans are convinced that Mike Dean absolutely despises them.
Well, I mean, they're convinced about everyone.
Yeah, well, exactly, yeah. He's great entertainment. I won't hear otherwise.
Dean is the best thing that's ever happened to football.
He's absolutely
he's
wonderful.
Not even close.
So who's the other alternative, would
I
you
guess
say?
It's Michael Oliver, isn't it? Because it can't be Klattenberg after last year.
No.
Because he completely lost control of it. So, you know, it needs to be a strong ref, because otherwise, you know what Chelsea are like.
Mm.
And they'll just do what they did last year and spoil it.
And Dier will get riled, I think. I love Dier, and I think he's one of the most mature people. Until the Chelsea thing, he could have got sent off three times. I think two of the tackles that he had were red, straight reds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the third time could have just been for his five yellow cards that he picked up just in the second half. But I do feel like he's gettable. And I think Costa on the form that he's in, Pedro's a nasty little bastard. Hazard is just on fire at the moment. There's going to be those little niggly things that might actually get to Dier, and I don't think he's not got the safety net of Toby and Vertonghen behind him. He's very much one of the last lines, and it'd be interesting to see what Loris does as well. I'd like to see him a bit more control the people that are in front of you a little bit. I don't know, I think revenge is quite high on the agenda for
me. Think? No better revenge than actually beating them.
Yeah, that's all that really matters.
Yeah. There's so much at stake, but would you take a draw?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'll take it right now.
I said at the start of the week I wanted 7 points from this week, which included three in Monaco, and that would be a great week. Because ultimately, going out of the Champions League makes it a shit week.
Yeah, let's
call a spade, but it just is what it is.
Mm.
So, you know, we need the 3 points tomorrow. Adds the 3 points from Saturday. If you can go into that Chelsea game and come out with a point and not lose any ground at the top of the table, you'd have to take that.
Yeah, definitely. I think we all looked at November when the fixture list came out as well. West Ham at home, Arsenal away, Chelsea away. And I think we were all dreading it a little bit, but we've got 4 points already. The Champions League, all right, it's sandwiched in there, but it would be nice to come out of it unbeaten. That would be a big sign, I think. It was horrible to look at that, but I think we've come out with a bit of credit considering the way we looked going into it. If we didn't beat West Ham, we'd have been, what, eight without a win?
Yeah.
Monaco, no easy place. Chelsea, we just don't win there. We could have been looking at 10 without a win, but also 13 unbeaten if we'd have drawn all those games.
I don't know what to think.
It's so weird, isn't it? We've gone 12, it's 12 now. 12 unbeaten, 6 wins, 6 draws. The only unbeaten team in the whole of the country, but we're fifth. It's just so Tottenham.
I mean, people are using that unbeaten thing as almost a stick to beat us with on Twitter, which is quite weird. It's like, well, you know, teams above us have lost the game, they don't care. But actually, being unbeaten shows a hell of a lot of character, and that's the sort of character that might have got us three extra points on Saturday.
Mm.
You know, if you don't lose games, it's never bad to not lose. Mm. You know, and quite a few of them we've not really deserved to win. I mean, West Brom ground it out at the end. Everton could easily have lost that game. Liverpool definitely should have lost that game. So, you know,
Leicester, we were
rocking, weren't we?
Yeah, a little bit.
So, you know, Twitter loves a hot take, and, you know, who cares if we're unbeaten? But, you know, if we go unbeaten for the rest of the season, we'll be doing all right.
Mm.
Don't worry about that. So, I'll take it.
But it would be very Spurs to go unbeaten for the whole season and not even finish Champions League, wouldn't it?
Be magnificent.
The glory.
Would we get a gold trophy as well for that?
Yeah,
you
why
have
not?
To.
Yeah. Kane said he wanted to win trophies. Well, there you go. Unbeaten, mate. Let's do some listener questions to finish off. Tim Brown at Sop Formation. A couple of big games coming up, and Ericsson's still well off form. Is now the right time to drop him or wait? We have touched on this, but how do you feel about Ericsson at the moment?
I think he's been just appalling. I mean, can't speculate these things, but he's playing as though there's something in his personal life that's really playing on his mind. Like, he looks like a man who is completely occupied elsewhere. To counter that, I would still never drop him, because I think we are, and there's enough of a sample size of this, we are always worse when he's not on the pitch than when he is. But as a friend said, normally when a number 10 has a bad game, they're completely anonymous. But Ericsson is the exact opposite. He is always trying to get involved and bad. So actually, it's a double whammy of bad, because not only is he playing badly, he's also playing badly and always on the ball. You have to hope it's going to change at some point. I mean, he's sort of a metaphor for the whole team, really. I mean, not getting it done just about, but not playing well, but you've got the talent to do it. You'd have to hope that it all will click into gear, because I don't know what. He had the longest summer of all of them.
Yeah. Well, he's sort of counting his money a little bit over that summer as well, I think.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting. This is, again, I said this is the third time I've been on the pod. Third time we've spoken about, not to say it's getting repetitive or anything, but it's, like, but it's just the same thing keeps coming up with him. And, you know, someone has to change. I mean, I think some of his bad form, not that it's necessarily excusable, you should be able to do it yourself, but he's missing Lamella a bit and missing that sort of energy around him, someone buzzing around that he can then pounce and get further up the pitch. But it's just odd, as you say. There's just something that he seems distracted or...
Yeah, I think it's you know, the anonymous thing is you can get away with that. And it's weird. A lot of people say it's the stuff that you don't see with Eriksen. You know, he picks up the ball more than anyone else. He has more touches, more forward passes, things like that with Eriksen that you may not see until after the game and you begin to sort of appreciate it. But at the moment, like I say, that touch, he took one touch against West Ham and he seemed to kick it into his left foot and it just went off for a throw, like 2 yards sideways, you know?
The set pieces are awful.
Yeah, he's got very Tottenham about his set pieces,
yeah,
unfortunately.
He's shooting for the sake of it from free kicks now.
And yeah, that free kick which was down the middle, which he didn't even work the keeper. No, it was far out, but my God.
And there was one which he could have crossed in and he just shot. Now, I think there needs to be a bit of management there by saying, you know, it's not going... He hasn't scored a free kick since Swansea away last year.
And then after that game, I wrote a really good article, right, in my opinion, on
humble brag,
like all the things, all the things that like Eriksen can do with a free kick. He can go left, he can go right. He's got power. Like the one against Sheffield United was out on the right hand side. Not fucking scored one since. Not one. I don't even think he's got one on target since.
No.
Yeah, that'll teach me. Let's finish on a good one. S at A Heaven of Hell. You're in charge of Spurs' Christmas party. Where do you host it? What's the theme? Newcastle. For both host and theme. Return to the scene of the crime. Smash the place up. No, I'm joking.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Faces, Daniel Lloyd tribute party, you know, just to be a bit of throwback Spurs to the old days.
Don't upset their rhythm.
Get the phone back.
They recognise.
Yeah, exactly.
Home comforts, all that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who do you reckon gets pissed at the Christmas party?
Trippier.
Do you think?
Oh,
yeah.
That is a good shout, yeah.
Yeah, he seems a bit...
And that crazy coach, Perez.
With the eyes.
The one had the laughing interview when he was trying to do the English. He definitely has one too many.
Tony Jimenez looks like he could take an ale.
Yeah.
Definitely.
He'd be the one still standing, barely...
Yeah.
But the alcohol's barely touched him all night.
Yeah. But the guy that... He's not a physical drunk. He's not an angry drunk, but... Other groups know, don't bother messing about, because he will end it. If you start something, he will finish it. Yeah, he's a scary bloke. He's enormous as well. Fabric has just reopened today, apparently, as well. So
maybe it's for that.
Maybe, yeah.
We'll never the word.
Maybe Levy's like saving the money on the Kane contract just for a massive Christmas party.
Yeah.
Could be a stadium sponsor.
It could be a stadium sponsor.
Never know.
It's Uber, Dunkin' Donuts, Qatar Airways, or
Fabric
the nightclub. Which one I'd go for.
The old ground, the new ground is now bigger than the old ground. It's taller. I'm not sure if you noticed that.
Yes, which I'm really looking forward to how it's going to look in May.
Yeah.
So that, just as you see it creeping, I think I've said it on this pod before, it's like it's eating the old stadium. It is starting to get above, isn't it?
Yeah.
They've got that netting in the corner now as well. Just starting to creep above, isn't it?
We didn't have a really good, like, wee moment of someone belting one out of their corner, did we?
No, this is why it's a shame we sold Andrew Townsend, because I think the ball would have ended up in that netting quite a bit.
I was bringing back for a testimonial or something at the end. Yeah. Just bringing back just for that, to do that.
Yeah, we've already played Palace.
It could be a new half-time game, like the deck chairs that Chirpy used to do. They could, you know, whack the ball out the corner from the halfway line or something. That'd be great.
Yeah, that's not a bad shout. That's probably where mine would end up as well,
yeah,
if it even reached. All right, guys, thanks very much for coming down. That was a good pod. No Dan, obviously, but, you know, gutted. The last time you were on, Phil, Dan wasn't here, was he?
Yeah, I don't think he likes me.
No, he's avoiding you. No, he was on holiday last time,
Big
I think.
Trump fan.
Yeah.
Big Trump fan.
Yeah. So. All right. Thanks very much, guys. Adam, nice to see you, mate.
You too.
We'll get you on hopefully just after Christmas. Otherwise, have a great Christmas, guys. I know it's a bit early, but we can start thinking about it. Question about a Christmas party. We've got the advent calendar thing coming up in December again.
Oh, cool.
It's all very exciting.
We're as hot as a Christmas fire in here.
It is boiling in here. Apologies for that. Doesn't quite come across on this unless we've wilted over the course of the recording. Phil, thanks for coming down, mate.
Pleasure.
So, the same. We'll see you in the new year. You've been listening to The Tottenham Way. Thanks very much for joining us. See you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.